the triune God. Amen. I spent much of my life as a lone Christian, much like a lone wolf. A lone Christian, which I later discovered, is an oxymoron. But at that time, it didn't occur to me. I wasn't really big on Christian community. I didn't understand it. That said, I did have the communal experience of Sunday school as a child in the Southern Baptist Church. My father would drive me to the entrance of the Children's Education Building at 9 o'clock, pick me up at 10 o'clock, and then we'd go have pancakes at my grandparents' house. It was a pretty fun routine. But this meant that from an early age, I understood church to mean taking advantage of an offering, a program, on the rare occasion a worship service, and then heading for the door. When I got older, this mentality became more pronounced. I'd pick a church to attend on Sunday, drop in for worship, and again head for the door. I rarely stopped to talk to anyone. This was my pattern on and off for years. I don't think I was consciously aware that church community was even a thing, that there was a way to grow spiritually in relationship with other people. I had a personal relationship with Jesus, which, to be fair, is what most of the sermons I heard emphasized, but that's all I had. Until I came across an Episcopal parish in downtown Manhattan. It started with coming to worship, but I soon found myself drawn in more deeply, getting to know other parishioners, going to classes and events, and being invited into service. Before I knew it, the parish community had become my primary community. It was the place where I formed intergenerational relationships, where I discovered new prayer practices and the blessings of financial stewardship. It was the place through which I did community service. It was the place where I offered and received consolation during times of tragedy. It was my grounding and my locus of spiritual transformation. Ultimately, I was converted from a consumerist mentality, which had involved looking for what the church could do for me. I finally understood that I was the church as a member of the body of Christ, and I was accountable to use the gifts God had given me in service to the church and to the world. In other words, my Christian life was finally rooted in Christian community. I share this story because today is Trinity Sunday. Today we celebrate the community of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and by extension, the community of God's people. No individual can fully be in the image of God apart from other people. We need a holy communion with one another. This is a helpful thing to keep in mind because we have a pretty strong pull toward individualism in our society. Our greatest tendency is to focus on ourselves. Me, my family, my stuff, my way. If we're not careful, this focus on self can cause us to move seamlessly and unwittingly from being made in God's image to remaking God in our image. We want a God who acts like us, thinks like us, holds the same views as us, and more than anything, we want this God to be powerful, because we wouldn't mind having such power ourselves. And if we can't get the power we want, we'd at least like to know that the all-powerful one is on our side. This is where Jesus comes in. Because we can't help but define God in terms of power, God decides to come to earth to show us what power is really about. Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians that God the Son emptied himself of power in order to come down from heaven and become incarnate in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. The power the Son did retain, he used to serve, to lead, and to heal throughout his earthly ministry. And then he gave up his power completely in his self-sacrifice on the cross. That is the nature of God's power, the power of love. When we model our lives after Jesus and apply this concept of self-giving in community, beautiful things start to happen. We share our power in order to empower others, taking the light off ourselves and shining it on someone else. Sunday school teachers do this when they encourage and equip their students in the basics of discipleship. Clergy do this when they invite laity to lead and serve alongside them. And in turn, lay leaders do this when they invite other parishioners to join them in ministry and share in the spiritual blessings of good works. Church community at its finest reflects the self-giving nature of Jesus and the communal inner life of God. When we affirm the Trinity, we affirm that it is the essence of God to be in dynamic, loving relationship at all times. We also affirm that Jesus is at the center of it all, the center of the church, and even the center of the Trinity. We speak of God the Father as creator of the universe, but just as important, God is eternally the Father of the crucified Christ, who, by the way, also had a hand in creating the world. We talk about God's ongoing presence among us in the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of the risen Christ, sent by Jesus after the ascension so that he could still be present to his disciples. And if you want to talk about why Jesus is such a big deal to begin with, it's in him and him alone that we come to see and know God. In short, it's all about Jesus. The doctrine of the Trinity is God's way of telling us to pay attention to Jesus. Nicodemus understood something about paying attention to Jesus. A Pharisee and prominent religious leader, he sought Jesus out in the middle of the night to learn from him and to get close to him. Perhaps he was even born again, as Jesus describes, despite his difficulty making sense of that image. Something must have happened in that midnight meeting, because eventually Nicodemus goes public. He comes out in the open and speaks up for Jesus before the Sanhedrin and his fellow Jewish leaders. In doing so, he takes his relationship with Jesus into religious community. I don't know how that turned out for Nicodemus, but I do know how it can turn out for us and how it has turned out for me. Taking my relationship with Jesus into religious community has enhanced and expanded the power of Jesus in my life. And I've watched it do the same for many of you. It's always a privilege to witness the power of God at work in the lives of the faithful through the blessings of the church. Of course, I know that the feeling of community isn't automatic. Doug Owsley, Incarnation's former rector, used to say that getting involved in a new church is a bit like going to a cocktail party where you don't know anybody, except maybe the person you came with or the person who invited you. You might feel a little shy or trepidatious at first, but then you start getting to know folks and feeling more comfortable. Moreover, when you're coming together in faith and religious practice, you already have a common ground to serve as the basis of relationship. Now, it might be a little ironic to use the example of a cocktail party, because Incarnation hasn't had a true party in almost a year and a half. But we are certainly gathering as Eucharistic community once again, moving in the direction of more in-person opportunities, and making good use of our newfound ability to connect on virtual platforms. In short, we continue to dispel the myth of the autonomous human. And we dispel the myth of the lone Christian. If the Godhead is essentially a small group, how could we ever make it on our own as Christians apart from other Christians? And how could we ever make it on our own apart from Jesus? We are created and we are redeemed for Jesus. And we are created and redeemed for community. May you find both here, and may you go forth in the knowledge that you are always bound up in God's blessed communion. Amen. Amen.